Thankful for that. If you have your Bible, there's several places I really would like to go tonight, but I want to just really go to Isaiah chapter 32. If you will, go there for just a moment. And then, if you will, hold there, and then I want to go to Psalm 18. And really, either one of them could be my main text tonight. But I want to read Psalms 18, and I want to read three verses, and then there's two others I want to read out of that 18th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 18 and then Isaiah 32. Psalms 18, the psalmist wrote, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. Boy, that's embracing a lot of things. I will call upon the name of the, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. In that same 18th chapter, then, verse 31, it says, For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? And then verse 46, The Lord liveth. And blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It's a beautiful song there on that. But he is the rock. He is the rock of ages. He is the high and mighty rock. He is the rock to which we can flee. And as we think about that tonight, I do pray that the Lord will bless us in mighty ways. Isaiah 32. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment. And a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. The vile person shall no more be more called. The vile person shall be no more called liberal, nor the churl said to be bountiful. For a vile person will speak villainy, and his heart will work iniquity, to practice hypocrisy, and to utter error against the Lord, to make empty the soul of the hungry, and he will cause the drink of the thirsty to fail. The instruments also of the Sheol are evil. He deviseth wicked devices to destroy the poor with lying words, even when the needy speaketh right. But the liberal deviseth liberal things, and by liberal things shall he stand. Now, as I look at that, my text, even if I had one that I had to go to, is verse 2. And it says, and a man, I've already said in Psalms, where he says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, that's his strength, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. And then Isaiah, as he writes, he says, a man shall be as a hiding place. And really what he just says, and it will be a hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest, a rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. You know, if we look at the thing rock, we talk about that, the rock of ages, we talk about other things, and we talk about Jesus Christ being the cornerstone of his church. Now, what is a cornerstone? A cornerstone is a rock. It's a great stone. It's a great stone. It's not a small stone. It's a great stone. And as you look at it and think about it, that cornerstone, and today we miss the mark on the cornerstone a lot of times. It's not that little emblem sitting in the corner of that building that says when the building was built and when it was and to whom it was dedicated. But in that day and time, the cornerstone, the whole weight of a building that was built, they picked the lowest spot. You know, they didn't have all the excavation things that we do today to build, to dig out foundations. But they get the lowest spot on that elevation, and they put that great stone right there. And then they would start from that great stone, and they would build out from that great stone. They would lay the foundation of that building. So in reality, what happened when the building was complete, the whole weight of that building was transferred right back to that cornerstone. And so that's why it had to be a great stone. It had to be a mighty stone that would be the cornerstone of the building. So we talk about that great stone. And it says that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. He says, upon this rock, and that rock was a declaration that he was Jesus Christ, that he was the Son of God. He said, upon this rock will I build my church. And then the word in the New Testament says, Jesus Christ, the cornerstone. So it's all built upon him. It rests upon him. It's supported by him. And the whole rests upon the doctrinal truths that he has taught us, as well as all that goes with the church of Jesus Christ today. But when we look at those things as far as in that day and time, when all this was being written, all these references, and I forgot how many references there are to rocks in the King James Version, but it is tremendous about the rock. But it was really, it points to Jesus Christ. Because really go back to, go to the Old New Testament and you find, and Paul says that Jesus Christ, that rock was Christ. And so we know today as we look and we see the rock that provided the water for the children of Israel when they were wandering in the wilderness. Even though it's because that rock it brought forth water. We find other places where he says, can God provide a meal in the wilderness? Yes, he can. But really in that day and time in the land of Jude and Judea, in Samaria, it was a place where there was a high rocks, a big rocks, you might say. And if you notice that, he says, behold, it's a hiding place from the wind. And I understand in some of the desert parts of that country that the winds would get high and that travelers would have to come to a point that they would find a great rock and they'd get behind that rock as a haven against the wind that would blow. And it's talked about a covert from the tempest. It was a restful place. It was really, you might say, a shadow. In the shadow of the rock, people would find respite. They would find rest. They would find coolness from the hot sun. And then it says that rivers of water in a dry place. And, you know, we find that it was as the water flowing. The water gives drink to the whole nation of Israel twice. the rock was struck, and it was struck. First time it was to be struck, second time to be spoken to, but we know that Moses struck the rock both times. Actually, he told him just the second time to just speak to it. That just tells me that our Lord and Master was only to be struck one time, and he was in. That's one death, on Calvary's tree. That one death that he died and shed his precious blood is sufficient. He'll never be struck again from the standpoint of paying a sin debt for God's people. And then to me, this is one of the great things I see, is that it's also a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. How many times over the years, I'm sure those travelers, those people in that land, they find not only a resting place, they find a shadow in a weary land to give refreshment. Even the animals would find that great rock, and they would rest in the shadow of it as they go from time to time. And Jesus Christ, if you think about it, he's all of these things. He's all of these things. When he's a hiding place, he is a covert, he is a refreshing water, and resting in the shadow of his wings. The Bible speaks a lot about resting in the shadow of his wings, and talking about that being speaking about Jesus Christ also. But he's all four, and he's more. He's the cornerstone. He's the bedrock of the gospel church today. And he is a great rock in a weary land. Brothers and sisters, if we've ever had a weary land in America today, we are in that time. It is wearisome. When we see our president being attacked, we see people calling good evil and evil good, evil bad. And we've come to that time when they call evil is called good and good is called bad. We see that today. But Jesus Christ is a respite. He is a resting place. He is a haven, and he is a refuge. There's another place that talks about him being a refuge. And then there's other place that said he sucked honey out of the rock. And that is that to me is what I want to preach that. I've never been able to preach that text, but I want to. Sucking honey out of the rock, because that is I've heard some sermons on that. It's an awesome subject. But you talk about this, the rock of ages, he is Jesus Christ. He is a hiding place. And he is the rock of shelter for the weary. Great rock in that day and time. When we look at those things, it meant much to those living there. As I've already said, it was the best foundation for dwelling. The larger the rock, the better the cornerstone, you might say. And when we look at that, but they made fortresses out of stone, the rocks. And if you think about that, when Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, you know, it talks about he took the stubble, the rubble of those rocks, and that had been scattered and scattered around and just ruined. And he rebuilt it from those rocks that were there. Made fortresses, but it really provided caves. And in the midst of the rocks, often there were caves. And there was time, places of refuge. We find as we study the Old Testament, Samuel, and we find where David found a refuge among the caves and those great rocks. So it's something that really is just a very valuable subject for us today. But it also, if you think about it for just a moment, the Golan Heights in Israel. I understand that's a rocky place, but what does that do? It gives a great place of elevation that Israel might be able to look out over the enemy nations, and they might see danger coming. But it gave points in Christ. In Christ, we are raised above the elements of this world. In Christ, we are able to see, if we follow His dictates and follow Him, we are able to see some things that are coming that maybe we can avoid if we go to Him in prayer. He gave these great rocks gave refreshing shade. You know, I think about this a lot of times. Them old pecan limbs, they make pecans, but they make leaves too. But I think about it in a hot summertime, getting that wonderful set under that shade of pecan tree and feel that gentle breeze blow. And I think about my daddy. In the wintertime, he was sitting inside the smokehouse in the sun. In the summertime, I'd drive in the afternoon, he was sitting under that tree in the shade. That shade is a wonderful thing. And we talk about the shade of Christ Jesus. He is a refuge. He is a place of comfort. He is a place of refreshing. And I think today, as we think about that, but again, those rocks in that day and time, it gave people refreshing in a weary land. You know, and those who have been there observe and experience. I think, you know, if we could talk with somebody, and we can, they've been several of our ministers on. But they really say that that's a wonderful land over there. And some of these things we're talking about, they talk about seeing some of those things and how that it comes to reality when you're able to see all those things, and you see how that the Lord uses natural things to proclaim spiritual things. But really, when, what a relief, and I know we all have been there. I can remember being out in the hot sun all day and coming to a place and maybe there's a little shade tree at the end of that old tobacco patch and where you've been. That was a refreshing time. And you know, when we think about that, we are living in a weary land. We're rushed, we are pushed, we are shoved, and we are attacked. And yet we find that we have a refuge in Jesus Christ. He's a rock that's higher than we are. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I am. And brother, sister, that's what we need today. That high rock, that big rock that we have. Yet in Psalms 91 and verse 1, we can find rest in the trials and the shadow of that rock. And there's a never failing love. Let's do that in Psalms 91 for just a moment. I believe probably, if I remember correctly, Psalms probably has more references to the rock than any other book in the Bible. Psalms 91 and in verse 1. He says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." You think about that. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. "And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of the pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Again, strength, protection and strength. But you think about His never failing love, His never failing power, His never failing wisdom that He has, and that He is ever faithful. He's a lot more faithful than we are. When we think about it, I'm thankful for that rock that is higher than I am. What a rest. What a rest we find from the burden of sin. And He remarks under the shadow of the wings of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. He's a rock. He's a rock of refuge during the storm. And Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 14. His word, Shulamite, is likened to a dove in the cleft of the rock. You know, the dove is the greatest of all the birds. Not built for fierce battle. Yet the dove is safer in the cleft of the mighty rocks, in the storms of life, in the storms that they face, than the mighty eagle on top of the mountain. You think about that for just a moment. You know, the birds of prey cannot even molest a dove when they're in the cleft of the rock. And I think that sometimes I look at that. As God's people, we're referred to as sheep. But I think the dove is an emblem of peace. But really, when we are in the cleft of the rock, in the midst of the arms of Jesus, you might say, we're outside the reach of Satan's power for us in the cleft of the rock. An observation of a person or a gallery showed a picture of a powerful storm in the Rocky Mountains. The focal point of that picture was simply these two doves in a nest in the cleft of the rock. It showed the safety that is in Christ. I think that's what it showed. Of course, they were safe. There's nothing that could touch them but in the cleft of the rock. And I think sometimes when we look, and Moses says, "Lord, show me thy glory." If you recall, God put him in the cleft of the rock and let him observe his hinder side. And I think from time to time we should reflect on how safe we are today, because we can be and are so often hidden in the cleft of the rock of ages, Jesus Christ. He's the rock that gave water in the wilderness. And read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. This is where I was saying a while ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. When we look at that and think about it, that rock, that smiling at Calvary in the bloodshed, it cleansed us from all unrighteousness. When I look at those things and think about it, the water which flowed from the rock typifies, I think, the Holy Spirit, which today gives us the drink of Christ. And as I thought about that, the rock of Christ, how that we today, he says he's lifted us out of the miry clay and set us upon a rock, a safe place, a firm place. And he is the rock of foundation of the church. And if you recall, just from this to my way of thinking, this settled a lot of things in my mind when I saw this. He said, upon this rock will I build my church. If I were Peter, upon this rock will I build my church. And you know, I think the Catholic Church, I try today to say that the church is built upon the Apostle Peter. But if you look at it and take analysis of it, Peter is Petros, a mere stone or a rock fragment. And then if you look at it, built upon the rock, Petra, P-E-T-R-A, the mighty rock. There's a lot of difference. A lot of difference. Yes, Peter was referred to as a pebble, as a fragment. And that he was. He was firm when he got himself right. But that rock is the mighty rock that is there. To those who think Peter's foundation, this should make a difference. Our Peter, and Peter's a little pebble, but he's built upon the rock of ages, Jesus Christ, the mighty rock. The Lord is the rock of ages. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4, it says, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. That Hebrew phrase there, everlasting strength is the rock of ages. Everlasting strength. There's no weakness in Christ. There's no imperfection in Christ. He is perfect in all respects. None who trust Him should be ashamed to call Him Christ. He is eternal. He's all-powerful. The mighty God, our deliverer from sin, our keeper, our refuge, our strength, our all. Christ is all and in all. And I'm thankful for that. What have I said? A simple message. The mighty rock. When you look at it in the natural sense, it is a mighty rock. It's a haven. When we look at it in the spiritual sense, even that rock is more secure, more powerful, and provides a better cover than that natural rock ever would. It's a simple message. To believers, He is precious. But others, He's a rock of offense. I read this one time, and I didn't really understand what I was reading. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. And then one day it dawned on me what Brother Peter was saying. We talk about the mighty rock, He is our haven, He is our refuge. But it's talked about this, and let me read it to you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Let me just start at verse 1. 1 Peter, chapter 2, and then I want to read through verses 6 and 8. He says, wherefore, lay aside all malice, and all guile, and hypocrisy, and envy, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. See, that word tells He's precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Where he said, cornerstone. And he says, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We're talking about here, he says, unto which they were appointed. In order to me, they stumble at the word. They do not believe it. They cannot understand it. And they don't believe it. They don't see Jesus Christ as the chief cornerstone. They do not see him as a haven. They do not see him as a rock in a weary land for refreshing times, as we sit under the shadow of his wings. And you know, to sit under the shadow of something, we've got to be close to it. And I thought about this also. If we're in the shadow of the Master, we're close to it. And that should be a time of haven, a place of respite, a place of peace, and a place that really we can take refuge from those things that plague us today. He is our buffer, he is our strength, but also he is our caregiver. I'm thankful for that. He says that he's with us, he'll never leave us. But he says, with every trial of life, every temptation, every burden, every trouble that comes our way, he said, I've been there, and I'll help you with it. When we start thinking about the God that we serve, the Savior that we have in Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that makes application, people, we are so blessed and knocking on. The older I get, the more I see the goodness and the majesty of the God that we serve, the Savior that we have, how that people cannot just flock to him. Because he draws us with an everlasting love. He said, loving cords of kindness. Loving cords of kindness have I drawn thee. And yet there's some that are confounded by the cornerstone. May God bless us as we think about these things, that we might really realize how blessed we are that we have the Rock of Ages that we can cling to. I'm thankful for that. May God bless us. May we realize that we have an awesome Savior.